My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. The Institution of Electrical Engineers, that's where we are. Sounds very grand. We'll have to see what we can do about that. We, being John Amos and Frank Muir, in friendly competition with Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. And not forgetting our scorer, doubling programme secretary, Mary Bell. John, I often start with a symphony for you, but not this time. As a matter of fact, it's Dennis who gets the symphony. You, John, get this. That's a bit of real piano playing. Fats Waller. John, you're a pianist as well. Jazz legend has it that Fats Waller, with one hand, could span two octaves. How many inches would that be, or centimetres? Make a guess. An octave, two octaves, two octaves.
An octave is about... it's about 8 inches.
So two...
two octaves would be 15.
Yeah, it's 13 inches on my piano, or 33 centimetres, if you happen to be up to date with it. Biggest hand span I've ever seen is that of Oscar Peterson. He can play a twelfth. It's approximately 10 inches between thumb and little finger. Yeah. Enormous hand.
I once had the great pleasure of turning pages for Sviatoslav Richter. And he was doing a recital with David Oistrakh at the Festival Hall. They did the Cedar Franc. And I got a bashing from a colleague of mine at that time, music critic Joan Chazelle. Of course, she said, I was sitting on the platform and she said my mouth dropped open a couple of times. And the reason why I told her was because of Richter's stretch. He can do, a twelfth. He can play a chord with an octave span and a fourth below it.
Yes.
Richter scale.
Yes, in other words, something like that.
And then a fourth above it.
Extraordinary, just with one hand, boing.
You know, being a pianist myself and had slogging through that Cesar Franck, you know, suddenly to see this mitt open.
It is terribly important if you're going to be a pianist to measure your fingers, make sure that they're not wider than the white notes.
Mine are, actually.
Yeah. And also not narrower than the gaps between the notes. Otherwise you could be fast lodged.
Yes. That can be a nasty moment as well, I can tell.
Actually, a hand that is too big is not always an advantage, is it?
No, not too big, no. Indeed not, no.
Can't play the little ones.
Mm. Frank, here are Simon and Garfunkel.
They call me Baby Driver, and once upon a pair of wheels I hit the road and I'm gone. What's my number? I wonder how your engines feel. Up above, scoot down the road. What's my number? I wonder how your engines feel.
Frank, the journalist Philip Howard wrote an article in The Times about music in which he mentioned, and I quote him, the old groaner Frank Sinatra and Simon and Garfunkel's song Bridge Over Troubled Waters. Where did he go wrong?
Should we bridge over the river water?
Yes.
We went wrong.
Singular.
The old groaner wasn't Sinatra.
No, it's Bing.
It's Bing, yes.
Yes. I think it behoves a man who makes a living out of quibbling over words to get things right, don't you? Ian, again, a duet. Different, though.
E via bufone, non mi sei caro, non ho padrone, non vorrei star. Senti, mio amico, buon armito, ma che ti ho fatto, che vuoi lasciarmi? Tu niente affatto, quasi abbracciarmi. Battesi, matto, tu per turbarmi.
In who's singing and in what?
It's the second act of Don Giovanni.
Yes.
I can't give you both singers, I don't think, but I got a feeling that the the Don is George London.
George London, yes. And the other one was Walter Berry.
Uh-huh.
Yes, in Mozart's Don.
Poor Leporello gets a terrible bashing in that opera. I made my debut singing that particular part with Scottish opera many, many years ago, in the days when they had an amateur chorus, and a very, very good amateur chorus. But the thing about an amateur chorus is they can be more relaxed in a performance than the professionals, because whatever happens, as far as they're concerned, it's always egg and bacon for breakfast next day and a job to go to, whereas the professionals are a little more tense. And on the first night, I remember, there's a scene where the Don and his servant Leporello, they happen on a group of peasants, one of whom has just got getting married to the other, and they're friends who are celebrating. It's a sort of rustic scene. And traditionally, Leporello goes over to a boy and a girl who are standing, usually on the left of the stage, boy with his arm round the girl. He does a little pantomime to detach the boy from the girl, and then he puts his arm round the girl himself, pinches her, she screams, and Don Giovanni says, "Leporello, what are you doing?" with complete hypocrisy. Well, I came on the first night, and I look over, and here's the girl standing entirely on her own. No boy anywhere nearer. Well, now, you cannot, on the stage, it is very tasteless and very unbelievable just to go up to a girl and pinch her bottom without any sort of preamble, like sort of detaching the boy from her, you see. Well, I approached her, wondering what to do, with a sort of hopeless look on my face. She had her back to the audience, which she was supposed to have, looking absolutely relaxed. And as I got close to her, she gave me a sweet smile and she said, "He's new here."
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, it's very sweet.
Well, I could see that. Yeah. And as I got nearer, she felt obviously a little more explanation was necessary and she said, "He's got food poisoning."
Yes. Dennis, when Sir Henry Wood conducted this next work in Rome, the audience hissed for 3 minutes and then applauded for 5 minutes. After we've heard a few seconds of it, can you explain? Hissed for 3 and applauded for 5 minutes. How come?
I'm not at my best with questions on symphonies. I don't mind you playing me a symphony as long as you then follow with a question about Matt Ganella. I can only think that it was marked like ice skating sort of thing. So much for artistic concept content, and then so much for the actual execution. Yes. And they sort of, it's equivalent to holding up the 5.9s, yes. But not much for the actual content.
I accept your explanation completely. It's rather nice. Sir Henry was told afterwards that the hisses were for the work, Bax's Third Symphony, and the applause was for the way he had conducted it.
You were absolutely right.
Well, that's right.
Yes.
I've got a question about a symphony. Yes. Absolutely right.
Right, exactly. There are several possible answers to the question, what is variety? One answer is that it's the spice of life. Another that it was a form of vaudeville entertainment. But it's also an American weekly magazine, the show business trade paper, that's credited with the invention of expressions like soap opera and payola and even disc jockey. John, in variety's parlance, what are kiddio cricks? You might get kiddios. What are kiddios? K-I-D-E-O.
Children's television?
Not, well, a little more than television.
Yes, videos? Well,
yes, videos. Children's videos. And cricks, C-R-I-X, is a plural. They are?
Critics.
Yes, critics. They're critics of video films for children. Kiddio cricks. Frank.
I thought of a name for a corrupt Roman Catholic disc jockey called Ignatius Paola. And they were never able to use it in any other script.
Frank, the Variety headline, Ota bombs at B.O. What would you make of that?
Ota is a third generation. It's another way of saying a horse opera.
Yes.
Which is another Variety way of saying a Western film.
Western, that's right.
Bombs means fails.
There, yes. Box here, office. Yes, that's right.
In other words, it did a bomb means it did very well here. And in America, it means it flopped.
Yes, that's right.
Very difficult. And B.O. is box office.
That's right, yes, indeed. Ian, are you a terp or a thesp? And have you ever worked for a Helmer? Are you a terp or a thesp?
I think if a terp is a terpsichorean and therefore a dancer...
I think you're a thesp.
I was once a terp.
Were you?
And that was in a pantomime at the Colosseum many years ago when I did the Emperor of China, and everybody had to dance because it was being choreographed by Robert Helpman.
Wow.
And he choreographed me in a dance as the Emperor of China. And I can remember him saying when he came to me, he said, I haven't got a lot of steps left in me Dorothy bag for you. He said. But he managed to get me to dance, and there were four chaps who lifted me at the end, very strong boys they were, who lifted me. And shortly afterwards, he was knighted. But I still think I'm a thesp.
I should, yes.
I don't know what a Helmer is.
A Helmer is, do you know, Dennis?
Was a director.
Director, yes. Somebody at the helm.
Oh, at the helm. Oh, I
see. Director, that's right. Dennis, one of the best of these crisp words, I think, is chop socky. I'm sure you've seen some. What are they? Chop sockies.
Chop sockies are in generally on the cinema page reviews. They're those martial art films. I like the phrase that they use. When a thing went well, they said, and they often put it in quite a serious review, and they'd say that so and so conducting earned plenty mitt pounding.
A question: what's new?
What's new?
What's new about that is a rock star making a million-selling record album of lovely sentimental old songs. Linda Ronstadt, the singer, Nelson Riddle, the orchestral arranger. John, in this instance, who was the composer and in which century was he born?
I've got a crush on you, sweetie pie, all the day and night. Hear me sigh, I never had the least notion that I could fall with so much emotion.
Composer?
Well, I don't know, but presumably you wouldn't have asked me if I'd thought it was 20th century, so
no.
Obviously somebody was born just at the end of the 19th
century. Yes, you could call him a Victorian, actually, in a sense. Yes, he was born in 1898.
Gershwin.
It was George Gershwin. Frank, who was this composer?
What'll I do when you are far away and I am
lovely, isn't it?
Yes, a little off pitch. What do I do when I'm slightly out of tune?
Could I say it next year if it's okay to sing it? Okay to sing it off key?
Slightly off.
Off pitch. It's Irving Berlin.
Yeah, Irving Berlin, that's right. Born in 1888.
Early Berlin.
Yes, very. Yes, early Berlin is right. Ian, again, the voice of Linda Ronstadt, but this time with part of a verse. I know you like to see credit given to brilliant lyric writers, so who wrote this?
I'd like to add his initial to my monogram. Tell me, where is the shepherd for this lost lamb?
care is the shepherd for this lost lamb. Do you know the lyric writer? Dennis can help, I think.
It's Ira Gershwin.
Ira Gershwin, yes, sir. And do you or Dennis know which chorus follows that verse?
Yeah, well, I've got this, and I play it over and over. Yeah. This is a great LP, Nature. You may be off pitch, but I respond to that. It's actually rather strange because it follows. It's there's a somebody I'm longing to see. It's someone to watch over me. But it's strange with Nelson Riddle doing the arrangements that in the middle of that she sings. Though he may not be the man, you know, the actual lyric is, though he may not be the man some girls think of as handsome to my heart, which is a good rhyme. She sings, though he may not be the man some girls think of as handsome.
Ruined it.
Yeah, and blows it. Yeah,
blows the rhyme. Yeah. Dennis, your question proper. Which two songwriters, and you met both of them, were responsible for this song?
When I want rain, I get sunny weather. I'm just as blue as the sky. Since love is gone, can't pull myself together. Guess I'll hang my tears out.
That's Julie Stein and Sammy Kahn lyrics. Yeah.
Guess I'll hang my tears out to dry.
Very superior songs on that that record, all the way through.
Here we are, sitting in the fine hall of the Institution of Electrical Engineers, and it occurs to me that these poor good people sitting so patiently in their rows haven't got a signature tune of their own. So I'll accept nominations. Let's make it a tune, a theme song, suitable for an electrician or an engineer or someone of kindred calling. John, your pen is moving over the paper. Have you a thought on this?
A song I'd like to plug.
Yes, I'd take that off. Yes.
How about the one that begins, you say AC and I say
DC.
You say amperes and I say amperes, 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 AC, DC. Let's spark the whole thing off. Yes.
Omen dry, I may say with that. Frank, any ideas?
I was sort of taking the engineers, the engineering side of it,
right,
and those who join things together. It could be Wagner, Tristan and Isolde. Or it could be Mendelssohn, the welding march, or just songs of Braise.
Very nice. Yes, indeed. Yes. Ian.
Well, I think an institute of electrical engineers is obviously a body of very serious and responsible people. And I think they would want something perhaps a little more serious, just to lead kindly light.
Yes, amid the encircling gloom.
I was going to say for old-fashioned ones, Ohm, Sweet Ohm, but he spoiled
it. No. I thought you might remember a character called Jack Point, but it doesn't.
Yes, yes, very good. No.
Dennis, you can cross out Jack Point.
What have
you
got? Cross out,
And Ohm, Sweet Ohm, we all
They're all gradually... That's the trouble of being the last one.
Yes.
And also, you needn't be so complimentary when you're the last one, either, you've seen. Having had a spot of electrical trouble for which the bloke who came round charged me a small fortune and took 2.5 days, I'm inclined to do that song in that Humphrey Bogart film called How Little We Know. Do you know that? And on the other side, Dancing in the Dark.
Wouldn't it be fun if Ian were about to sing On the Sunny Side of the Street and Frank were about to bring our show to a close with The Lost Chord?
Oh, thank you. I've always wanted to.
But it's the other way about.
So,
Frank, away you go.
Have The Lost Chord.
That was it.
Put your coat back.
I couldn't find a note.
No, I don't blame you. I was finding it a bit difficult myself, actually. It's that one. There you are.
Grab your coat and grab your hat. Leave your troubles on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear her pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your feet. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. Now I'm not afraid. This room turned over. If I never have a dime, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Dust all over my feet on the sunny side of the street. I suppose you're going to tamper with perfection.
Never heard it sung. Never have a dime of it. It's a cent. I'll be rich as Rockefeller, but never mind.
And this rover turned over. I like that. I think that's an improvement.
What should it be?
Crossed over. Because it's the sunny side of the street. Yeah. Did you get it?
I didn't get the plot.
Yes. From John, a song in a lingo that only he and Ian can understand. I'm not even sure Ian will recognise it. To our Corbies, John.
Yes, I think things have got too cheerful. So this is one of those happy Scott songs about two crows or Corbies pecking a corpse to bits.
Anybody we know?
Yes. As I was walking all in, I heard twa corbies making a min. The tane unto the t'other say, where shall we gang and e'en today? E'en behind yon old fell dyke, I wot there lies a new slain knight, and naebody kens that he lies there. But his hawk is hound and lady fair. His hound is to the hunting game, his hawk to fetch the wife for him. His lady take and another mate, so we may make our dinner.
Amusing, John.
Ian wants to know what language that was in.
Oh, no, that was a muckle braw song.
Well, Dennis has a great truth to point out.
I wonder if the audience can work out what the last line is going to be, they might care to endorse the sentiment as I'm singing. For who breaks her heart like a child breaks a toy? It's a man every time. It's a man. And who brings her sorrow and takes all her joy? It's a man every time. It's a man. If he makes a blunder, the whole world forgives, but she has to suffer as long as she lives. And who is to blame if her head hangs in shame? It's a man. Every time, it's a man.
Which brings us to Ian. No time for the full lost chord, I'm afraid, but if you'll settle for just the first and last verses, Ian will supply the story, and I'll chip in with whatever chords I can find.
Seated one day at the organ, I was weary and ill at ease, and my fingers wandered idly over the noisy keys. I know not what I was playing, or what I was dreaming then. But I struck one chord of music like the sound of a great amen. Like the sound of a great amen. It may be the desperate angel will speak in that chord again. It may be that only in heaven I shall hear that grand amen. It may be the desperate angel will speak in that chord again. It may be that only in heaven I shall hear that grand amen.
That grand amen. Just time for my blessing and the news that this week there's no victory at all. It's a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.